Dealer Insider Ed Bouchette, presented by Wright GMC in Wexford and Mount Lebanon Office Equipment. And Ed, as we sit down, as we sit here, and again, it's the Post-Gazette's Ed Bouchette, something just came across, and I'll let you fill us in on it, Ed.
Yeah, they had two picks left, Cameron Hayward and Brown, their third-round pick, and they came to finally a contract agreement with the first-rounder, Colin Cameron Hayward. And the process has become much easier under this new system with the rookie, the rookie slotting cap, whatever you want to call it. So Hayward would have missed one morning walkthrough and one. Actually, if he's here, if he's around here, he could make half this practice.
They just dropped him off in the cart just behind us, and he went in.
He might see him down in the field.
Well, let me ask you this. That's the monetary end of it and the contractual end of it. From a football sense and from a football sort of from a football end of it, where does Cameron Hayward fit in on this team? I know we're projecting a month or a couple months from now, but what does he do this year for this football team?
They'll probably try and spot him a little bit if he shows he's able to do that. You have Aaron Smith back and Brett Kiesel, of course, and Ziggy Hood, and he would fall maybe into the number four guy. Probably that's what they're hoping for. You know, everything's changed since they didn't go through all the off-season program and the learning process, the meetings, as well as on the field. So if this kid can pick it up, and he seems to be pretty intelligent, pick up enough that you can spot him, especially in passing situations, probably the easiest thing to do.
And obviously, they probably feel something good about this kid since, obviously, Nick Eason went to Arizona, and they were fine to let him go. Ed, I want to talk about the O-line. Everyone talks about, boy, this team would be so great if just that they had an O-line. I think the O-line is one of those situations where positions where you don't have to be amazing. If you just do your job and you're a big man, you're going to be decent, and that's exactly what they have right now. Tell us about Flozell and why he isn't here today.
Josh, he had a $5 million deal, salary for this year. And I haven't talked to Flozell, but I've spoken back and forth with his agent, Jordan Woy, who actually represented, I got to know him when he represented Barry Foster. That's that long ago. And he told me this summer, June or so, I said, is Flozell coming back? And he said, if he's going to start. You know, he did not want to be a backup. Well, once he signed Willie Colon, he was going to be a backup. And I was told before we even came to camp that there's no way they could pay Flozell $5 million because they have to get under the cap. So they wanted to both reduce his cap number, probably to give him $2
million,
and make him a backup. And he didn't want any part of either. So,
Are you surprised Willie Colon is back? I mean, he was getting Seahawks, Bears, Bills, Chiefs, Falcons. I mean, he's getting the press.
Yes, I am in a way, and I'm not in a way, Josh, because Willie just was – I mean, this kid wanted to come back here so badly. He loves Pittsburgh, the offensive line, his new coach, and Ben, you know, they're buddies. He loves everything about it here. Ben's been working him over. He was being worked over at Ben's wedding by everybody. And, the Bears offered him $3 million more. You can say it's a drop in the bucket over 5 years when he got $29 million, but still you don't see that happening very often, and he turned that down to stay.
Ed, and again, we're speaking to Steeler insider Ed Bouchette here on 93.7 The Fan. Ed, you look at this offensive line, a lot of people are making a lot of things of this offensive line in the past 24 hours. Is it true, though, that more is to be made of the backups than it is that maybe the starters will be fine and that the depth is what to worry about?
You know, I thought they had actually some good depth. They came through with some good depth last year, and they had to because you lost Willie Colon and you lost Max Starks. You got rid of your starting center. The obvious reason for that was Marquise Pouncey. But I actually think, they had Trey Essex who could play guard and tackle. I thought he was a good plug-in guy. You had Jonathan Scott who could play either tackle, and, of course, then you had to use him. So I thought they had some good depth. Now they have young depth. You know, that's what they're getting now. Essex probably won't be back. Jonathan Scott's now being counted on as a starter. You lost Max Starks, and you lost Flozo Adams, so you get Willie Colon and obviously and Jonathan Scott as your tackles, and you have a bunch of young guys, Ligurski, who can play center or guard. You have this Marcus Gilbert, the rookie tackle, who is going to be their future left tackle. And they I don't think they have as much veteran depth this year as they did in the past, Colin.
Something you hit on, Ed, and as we speak about Jonathan Scott, he's a guy a lot of people don't know a whole lot about. He's thrown into the fire right away. He's got to perform right now. Number one, how good can he be as someone who has – it's much like this, much like Willie Gay was. It's one thing to be that guy on the outside looking in. It's another thing to be counted on and be the starter. That's number one. And number two, can Sean Coogler – is this a project, in a sense, that Sean Coogler looks at and says, you, here's where you make your money?
Jonathan Scott?
Yes.
Okay. He's a veteran,
I understand,
Colin.
But not necessarily starting here.
No, but he is a veteran, I mean, who has started a number of times at left tackle.
Actually came over with Coogler
from Buffalo,
but he was in Dallas, I think, before that. Anyway, he started at some left tackle. And, you know, they signed him to a one-year deal on Coogler's recommendation. And I asked Bruce Arians about him today. I said, who's your starting left tackle? And he said, Jonathan Scott. And I said, are you okay with that? He said, he was excellent in the playoffs last year. So, you know, Bruce usually doesn't put a happy face on things that aren't happy. And I have to believe that that he's telling the truth and that they, you know, they can live with Jonathan Scott. Probably going to have to. I mean, I wrote on a blog today, who's going to be the left tackle? If not Scott, I mean, you could re-sign Max Starks. You could do that. And they've talked about that. Other than that, you got to throw Marcus Gilbert in there. I mean, Tony Hills has not shown anything in three years. And you have the other Scott, Chris Scott, who has played half a season. So there's not a lot of options there.
And to be honest with you, I'm not really worried about that. What I'm more concerned
about
is...
That's because you're not the quarterback.
Right, this is true. But they find a way to do things. They get stuff done. I think starting out and signing a couple key guys back and having Pouncey another year. I also, one of those guys that I believe, as much happened last year with the adversity on the O-line, Sanders and Brown and Pouncey being rookies, I think maybe they didn't see nearly as much as the playbook as I'm sure Coach Arians would love to have showed him. Maybe there could have been a lot more no-huddle situations. It was pretty split down. It was 479 passing attempts, 471 running attempts. I know it came from upstairs. They want to see running more. What do you think you're going to see this year?
I think probably the same kind of mix, I would guess. Mm-hmm. And it also depends if they fall behind. When, you know, you got to throw more if you fall behind rather than getting ahead. You know that. So that could alter the pass-run ratio. But I think they were happy with last year's offense. I really do. And, you know, unless, again, they fall behind and have to throw a lot to catch back up, I think you're going to see a good mix.